Thank you for loving us so much that you gave yourself for us. Lord, you became the Son of Man so that we might become the sons of God. You became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. You died on the cross so we could live. You were raised, Lord, to guarantee that eternal life you promised. Because you've been raised, we are also raised together with you. We are currently seated in heavenly places in Christ. We come this morning to thank you. We pray that you lift burdens. We pray for those that may be weighted down with sin or guilt or whatever it may be. I pray they would come to you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we come this morning as believers. We don't want anything to hinder the fellowship, the intimacy, the nearness we have from you. Lord, the fact of the matter is we don't want our sins to separate us from you. Rather, we want to see our sins separated from us as far as the east is from the west. You've done that by what you've done, by the blood of Jesus. And so by faith, we draw near this morning. We pray for those that may even be here, that may be tuning in online, who don't know you. We pray for them, Lord. Open their eyes to see Jesus. Open their hearts to the grace of God. Show them your love. Show them how much you care for them, that Jesus died on the cross. You didn't have to do that. No one forced you. You said, I give my life willingly. We come this morning to say thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. All right. Please open your Bibles to the 7th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let me welcome you here. If you came in a little late, if you need a Bible and don't have one, if you hold your hand up until the usher gets to you, we'd love to bring you and give you a book of the Bible, of course, and we'll be in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. If you don't know where Jeremiah is, go to Psalms and turn right. I look at sort of Psalms as the middle point in the Old Testament, you know, maybe Hebrews, the middle point of the New Testament, so. Now, you may have the cheat sheets and have the little tabs, you know, that's okay. Whatever helps, right? Better to have those than to, you know, wander in the wilderness. So, okay, chapter 7 of Jeremiah. We're going to look this morning in verses 1 through 7. We looked at this. Let me just mention what we're doing on Wednesday night. We're covering a larger section. Sunday morning, a smaller section. We're looking at verses 1 through 7 this morning. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we open the Word, open our hearts. Father, the Bible warns us about those that read the Word, hear the Word, and then leave, and they quickly forget what they've heard. The Bible says that person deceives themselves. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to think somehow that we're hearing all these things. The Bible says it's not the people that hear the Word, it's those that do it. That are blessed. And I pray this morning not only will we hear it, but we would receive it, allow it to affect and impact our hearts and lives. Encourage us this morning. I pray for anybody that may be, again, tuning in that doesn't know you or here this morning that doesn't know you. Please, Lord, we pray. I think about, again, the days of Jeremiah and the times that he lived and the situation that he found himself in. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us as you spoke then through the same words in some ways, through this passage. May your word come clear, may it come precisely, may it divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, may it be discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, in the 7th chapter, let me just give you this the scenario here. Jeremiah's going up to the temple and sharing the word. And what I'm going to do this morning in these 7 verses is tied in with the New Testament. It's very clear to me as we read this. Let me just say this. The message that God's had through all the prophets has always been the same. And basically, God sends prophets to tell people to turn from their sins, to believe in him and trust in him and follow him. It's very simple. Isn't that the message of the gospel? Now, we certainly see clearer. The Bible says that, you know, certainly we now see it through a glass darkly. One day face to face. Now we know in part, but one day we'll know as we are known. But God's given us some measure of light, and that is the gospel. We want to come to the Lord. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We want to personalize this and make it relevant for our day. Again, we've looked at this over and over again. The days of Jeremiah are very similar than the time that we live today. The message that all the prophets preach was repent and turn to the Lord and give your life to Him and obey Him, follow Him. Now, of course, the Lord's given us a new covenant. And that new covenant has within that new covenant provisions, okay, that the old covenant never had. One of those provisions is God gives us grace. God changes our heart. God changes our life. God gives us power to do what the Bible says. Under the old covenant, there was all the law given, but there was no provision in the old covenant to really change. Because those terms were obey me completely, and then you'll have eternal life. But of course, everybody sinned. But under the new covenant, God's given us life in Jesus. God's given us the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He's transformed our lives and hearts so that we can follow Him. He gives us the power, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that works in us these things. What a difference. But the message is always the same. Nothing really changes. And I want to reiterate that to you individually or corporately as a church. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing new in the sun. God's still telling people to repent and believe in Him and follow Him. And so that message that Jeremiah preached is the same message that we are as we go. We, of course, preach Christ and Him crucified. We have greater revelation in some ways. We know the new covenant. We're partakers of the new covenant. And that new covenant has changed our lives. So not only has God told us what to do, God's given us the power to do it. So there's no excuse now. God helps us. God gives us grace. God comes and lives inside of us. The Bible says that all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So this message is a really simple message in some way, but it's really important that we understand the relevance of it in our time, in our culture, what's happening today. We've tried to tie all this in with our current culture, what's happening today in America or in the world. And to me, it is so simple and so profound in some ways. You know, the most profound things are simple things, isn't it? You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Very simple. Just preach the word. The Bible says when the church was persecuted there in the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the word. We are to preach the word. So in this passage, look in chapter 7, if you will. We're going to look at three parts. The outline, I think it's on the board there. We'll look at the fact that the word of God is to be preached in the temple. Secondly, the message in verses 3 and 4. Very powerful message. And then verses 5 through 7, only a changed life will do. We aim for changed lives. We aim for that. That's the goal. In the book of Galatians, Paul said it like this, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. The only thing that matters is the new birth, the new life that Jesus gives us. That is essential to us. So it's tying in with the New Testament. It's sort of reflecting that in some ways, the fact that Jeremiah was in a very challenging situation. Look in verses 1 and 2, the preaching the word of the temple. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord and said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Now, let me just ask you to turn back to the 5th chapter. I want to show you the spiritual condition of the temple. Jeremiah's moving into this. We've already looked at this in some ways, but Jeremiah's going into the temple. God's saying, go into the house of God and preach the word. That's a strange statement. Where else would the word be preached but in the house of the Lord? We're gathering here today to hear the word of God, right? And yet, you'd be surprised. God tells Jeremiah, go into the temple, go into the place where people are gathered there and preach the word. In the 5th chapter, look if you will in verse 30, the culture, the situation in the temple is really described to us. Verse 30, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power and the people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Look at that in verse 30 again. The prophets prophesy falsely. So we have these false prophets. Was there a word being preached in the temple? Yes. But it was false prophets. There were things being said that weren't biblical. There were things being done that weren't biblical. The prophets were prophesying falsely. And I would submit to you, if you think about the church in general, that's what's going on today. The Bible says there's come a time they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teacher, having itching ears. They want to hear certain things. They'll turn away their truth from the truth and be turned to fables. My point is, during the days of Jeremiah, there were prophets in the temple preaching, but they were false prophets. They were saying things that were tickling their ears and telling them, you're okay. You're okay, I'm okay. You know? Oh, don't worry about it. We've already seen this in some ways. Jeremiah's prophesying their utter destruction. These false prophets were saying, it's not going to be like that. God's always delivered us. Now, I want to just encourage you to think about the Word of God when it comes. When God's word comes, the Bible says it's like a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts between, divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So the word of God cuts. It's hard sometimes. It's not what we want to hear necessarily, but necessary. And Paul, I mean, excuse me, God says to Jeremiah, go into the temple and the gate of the temple. In other words, everybody that's coming in, stand at the gate as they enter the temple and preach the word. Preach this word to them. Well, what was the condition? Well, the false prophets were prophesying lies. They were saying things that they shouldn't be saying. They were teaching things they shouldn't be teaching. Isn't that the same thing in the days of Jesus? When Jesus confronted those religious leaders and called them hypocrites? Jesus even told the people that come up, look, whatever they say, do it, but don't do what they're doing, for they say and do not. You'll know them by their fruit. So these individuals were prophesying and teaching. It's always been that way. Throughout human history, what does God say? That God's place where God's people assemble today, that's where the Word of God should be preached. We should be gathered to hear the Word of God. We should go in when people come to hear the Word, to understand the Word. Why? Because we need to know the Bible. We need to hear the Word. We need to hear what the truth is. You know, we sometimes blast the media or the internet, because we don't know what's true or not today, right? But I would submit to you that worse than that is what's happening in the house of God. That's worse. Why? Because, well, the media is the media, okay? They're by and large unbelievers. But prophets prophesying lies, going to the house of God and hearing things that you shouldn't be hearing and saying, thus says the Lord, when it's not the Lord, I mean, what is worse? I would submit to you, in God's eyes, it's far worse. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend everybody. Well, these prophets weren't offending anybody. They were making people comfortable in their situation, comfortable in their lifestyle, comfortable in what they were doing. They were false prophets. So God sends Jeremiah to stand at the gate of the temple, and as they come in, or let me say it like this, what is the difference between what Jeremiah was saying and what these false prophets were saying? Very, very different. It was strange, because who is this guy? What is he saying? Isn't that what happened when Jesus came into the temple? When the Bible says they came to him and then came back, I remember there's a time the religious leaders sent the temple guard to go arrest him. And they're out there to arrest him, and they're listening for a while in what he's saying. And finally they come back and they say, why haven't you arrested him? He says, no one ever spoke like this man. I mean, he taught them differently. The Bible says in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. When the scribes and Pharisees would teach, they would say, you know, Rabbi so-and-so says this, Rabbi so-and-so says that, da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus said, you've heard it said by those of old time, you shall not, whatever. But I say to you, I'm telling you this. He taught them as one having authority. Or I would submit to you, in our passage, that's exactly what Jeremiah's doing. He's going up into the temple and saying, thus says the Lord. Wow. Contrast that with what they were doing. Look also in verse 30. 31, rather, of this fifth chapter. It talks about the condition of the people as Jeremiah went up. It says, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power. In other words, there was nothing but humanism. People ruling by their own power. The priests were ruling by carnality and worldliness. It was a business. I've heard that today. I heard that last week. So often the churches are running a business. This is not a business. This is a spiritual entity called the church. It's a living organism. And we need to follow what the Bible teaches, what the Word of God says, not adopt the business world, what the world tells us to do and how the world defines things. I would submit to you today, that's what's going on. So what happens is Jeremiah goes up there and basically says, sorry, business is not as usual. And he confronts these priests. Or in the days of Jesus, these priests were up there by their own authority, by their own power, by their own rule. And the Bible, it's a very difficult situation for Jeremiah to step into. God says, go into the middle of this place, really the gate of the temple, and stand there as they come up. Confront the prophets, confront the priests. But look what he also says. The priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. And that, to me, is just so disgusting. They love it. Reminds us of our country in a lot of ways. Things are going downhill, but what do we say when we look back and it was all said and done? People love it. They keep going down the same road and doing the same things and embracing it. It's just crazy. The people love it that way. And that's what it says there in Timothy, 2 Timothy, about go there and preach the word, in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because the time will come, they won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teacher having itching ears. They don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to be told the word. In other words, when Jeremiah went up there, it was a very hard word to say, repent. They weren't going, oh, this feels so good. Oh, it's just wonderful. Tell me more. Let me have it more. But I would submit to you, in the house of God, there should be truth. And that truth is found in the Word. And that truth is because of the Scriptures. In other words, you examine yourselves. Look at what the Bible says. I've said before, don't believe me because I'm saying it. Look at yourself. Be like Bereans. Search the Scriptures whether these things are so. In other words, in this seventh chapter, verses 1-7, are the days of Jeremiah very similar to the days that we live in? Doesn't God tell us to do what? Go up to the house of God and preach the word. What is the condition of the church at large in America? Well, you got these prophets prophesying falsely. You got these individuals that are ruling by their own power, by humanism or humanistic or world's models. And the people love it. Nothing's changed. There's nothing under the sun. It's always been that way. That's why God tells Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. When they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. In other words, God's answer is always the word, always. No matter what. And I'm saying that to you. What is God's answer for our country? Conservative politicians, liberal politicians? No. Our answer is the word of God. Our answer is preaching the word. We don't have a lot of time. We're running out of time. The church is running out of time. The Lord's coming soon. God's answer is always preach the word, teach the word, minister the word, proclaim the word. Why? Because they're hearing lies. They're deceived. The Bible says if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those who are lost and whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. The Bible says how can they believe in the one they've never heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And God has sent us. How can they hear without someone being sent? As it's written, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What about gospel of peace? Well, peace with God. Not peace like I don't want to be bothered. Repent and you'll have peace with God. I'm just saying again, this is the message. This is the message that Jeremiah preached. This was the condition of the spiritual condition. When he went up to the temple, it was like this is an alien place. And in some ways, that's the way we should be. We are strangers in a strange country. We are living as ambassadors for Christ. We are in the world, but not of the world. We've been born from above. We have a message the world has to hear, and that is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're hearing lies. And they're going sometimes religious places in churches, not hearing the truth, where the Bible's never open, where the word's never taught, where you're never saying, what does the scriptures teach? You know, I every once in a while I hear somebody say, well, I'm really thankful you preached the word. And I think, what am I supposed to do? What did Paul say? Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity's laid upon me. I would say to you again, this is not optional. There's not options. Well, if you want to, you can preach the word. But if you don't want to, you just, you know, pop psychology or, you know, sermonettes or Christianettes, you know, whatever. No, it's not optional. Jeremiah, you've got to preach the word. Anybody calls God to preach the word. That's the heart. That's the heart and the foundation of everything. It's the word of God. And look what it says there. In verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, my people love to have it so. And then he says at the end of that statement, but what will you do in the end? Well, at the end of the day, when you've embraced false teachers and love this kind of atmosphere where you're never convicted, you're never brought under the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, what are you going to do at the end of that when your life's over with? When you haven't repented, you haven't turned to the Lord, you haven't believed, you haven't followed, you haven't trusted God. It's like God said, what are you going to do at the end? And the answer is, I mean, you're going to panic. You're going to stand before God on the judgment and say, why didn't I listen to the word? Why did I love? I'm reminded of that verse in the Bible regarding the Antichrist. The Bible says that because they receive not the love of the truth, God will send them strong delusion and they'll believe the lie. That is so revelationary in some way because we have to love the truth. We have to want to know the truth. What did the Bible say? We'll know the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets us free. God wanted to set the people in Judah free. He wanted to set the people in the temple free. And the only way that could happen is they heard the truth. They heard the word being preached and they embraced it. Not hid from it, ran from it, denied it. That's the point there he's making there. So go to our study here in the seventh chapter. Verses 1 and 2 again. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the temple or the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word. God says that. And that's the spiritual condition of the people. Hear the word of the Lord, all of you Judah, and who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You see, we've already looked at this. They came up to worship and offer their sacrifices, but once they left the temple, they went out and they followed false gods. They burned incense. They sacrificed their children to Molech or Ashtaroth or whatever. And they're doing all these things. It's like somebody that goes to church on a Sunday and they feel really, I feel really good. And then they go out there and they live like the devil the rest of the week. It doesn't cut like that. That's not what the truth is. Don't deceive yourself. And God was in some way confronting the people through Jeremiah and say, look, you're coming up to worship me. You're bringing these sacrifices, but I'm not going to listen to you. And then when you go back, you're killing people, robbing people, stealing people, committing adultery, lusting after your own flesh, giving in to sin. And you want me to bless you? And that's the situation. Look at verses 3 and 4, the message now that Jeremiah is going to preach. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. God blesses repentant hearts. What does he say when he says, amend your ways and your doings? He says that in verse 5 again, for if you thoroughly amend your ways, same Hebrew word. Verse 3 again, he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. I want to bless. God's a God of blessing. He wants to bless. He wants to provide. He wants to give eternal life. He wants to forgive sins. He wants to draw people into that relationship and fellowship with him. God wants that. Don't misunderstand God. Well, I said before, why would he even send Jeremiah? It's an amazing act of grace that God would even send Jeremiah to come confront the people. You know what a blessing that is? To be confronted in our sins, to be confronted in ourselves, and to be told repent. What happens if we don't hear that? If we don't hear the word of God, it's all easy believism, whatever it may. You know, this idea that I can do whatever I want to and I'm okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Or they hear lies like, well, God's the God of love, and everybody's going to get to heaven anyway. Don't worry about it. You're not as bad as so-and-so. Oh, okay. Instead of repent. And the point of the matter is, this is the condition of the days of Jeremiah. This is what he's facing. I submit to you, this is the condition of America. This is the condition of the world. It's the same condition. Why? Because of sin. And there's nothing worse than religious sin. There's nothing more damning than religious sin. There's nothing more blinding than religion. Religion blinds people. These people came up there and were deceived into thinking they were hearing the word of God by prophets. They were watching the way the temple should be structured because of the priests. And some of these people probably had honest hearts. I think today people, you know, honestly go and they're assuming that what they're being told is the truth. But they don't take the time to check it out. They don't take the time to read the Bible and say, what does the scriptures teach? My point in all that, this is the word of God to Jeremiah, from the Lord to these people. It's the same word. And God's given you his word. God's given you his truth. You are responsible to go out into your highways and hedges and your neighborhoods and your businesses and your schools and preach the word. They can't believe in someone they've never heard about. Don't assume because they live in the Bible Belt they've heard. They haven't heard, for the most part. You know, and that's why there's a lot of religion. But what we want is relationship. We want Jesus. We want the person of Christ. And in some ways, all these people had this religious thing, but they weren't really born again. That's what he's saying there in some ways. So he says in verse 3 again, thus says the Lord of hosts, of God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. It's like God saying, please, just listen. I want to bless you, but I'm not going to. I can't. I'm holy, and I'm not going to bless sin. I'm not going to bless carnality and worldliness. That's what God's saying, but you can read in those verses and see his heart and say, Lord, you're wanting so much for these people to repent. The fact that you would know that they're not and you still send Jeremiah to come, it's an amazing thing. How many times did he send people? Even if he didn't send any, the Bible says the heavens are declaring the glory of God, the earth is showing his handiwork. Day into day, night by night, they utter their voice. There's not a place where their voice is not heard. The heavens are declaring that there's a creator. They're showing his power. The fact is, we didn't have him by chance. But what happens? What has happened? Well, they've worshiped and served the creation rather than the creator. Romans chapter 1. They declared the creation, the creator. The creation's not the creator. But that's what we're being told. The creation's the creator. We got to bow down to the creation, worship the creation. Is that what the Bible says? Of course not. And anybody that disagrees with that or stands up for the truth, they're blasted. Why? Oh, we don't want to hear all that religious stuff. Religion, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about a true God that exists, who created us. That's why God says regarding all this stuff, what will you do in the latter days? What are you going to do in the end? When it's said and done and you come to die, then what are you going to do? That's the point. That's the condition. Now look in verse 4, if you will. He says in verse 4, do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these. In other words, they looked at the temple and somehow, we looked at this on Wednesday night as sort of a superstitious thing. Oh, if I just go up to the temple, I'll be okay. It's like a person that doesn't follow Jesus, doesn't submit to Christ, doesn't know the Lord, and yet they come to church. And they think, well, if I come to church, then God's going to have to bless me. And that's what was going on. They were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these. They were trusting in lying words. It was like a good luck charm. Isn't that the way it is today? People, they may go to church from time to time. They may read their Bible from time to time. They may pray from time to time. They may actually, at a meal, bow their heads. And they think, well, I'm okay. I believe in God. The Bible says you believe in God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. They tremble. And I'm just showing you the contrast. I'm saying that people were saying all these things. I would submit to you that today, people are doing the exact same thing. They're saying, I go to church. I read my Bible. I believe in God. I've been told I'm okay. I'm okay, you're okay. We're doing the best we can. Let me say this. The best you can is not good enough. The best you can is a failure. We've all come short of the glory of God. I've likened it before to a person that tried to jump over the Grand Canyon. Some people can jump further than others. But I guarantee you can't make it. And there are people who try real hard. They're very religious people. They do the best they can. We have to come to the place where we realize my best is not good enough. I'm a sinner. And I may be, quote, better than the person down the street. I may do more religious things, but I'm still a sinner. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that as far as that sin. You know, that the person that is a hypocrite that claims to know God but really doesn't. That's why Jesus said to the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, enter into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because the harlots, the ungodly that lived on the streets, they entered before. Why? Because these religious people thought they were okay. These religious people thought, well, I'm going to the temple and I'm reading my Bible, whatever it may be. They weren't. But the drug addict down the street who knows he's a sinner, knows he's going to hell, he's going to enter the kingdom of God quicker. Why? He knows he's a sinner. He knows he doesn't deserve to go to heaven. He comes broken. And God requires brokenness. God requires repentance. That's the condition. That's why in verse 4, do not trust in these lying words. What are these words? These words, the temple, what are these lying words? These are the words the prophets were preaching. These are the words the priests were saying. These are the words the people were agreeing with. Yes, we go to church. Yes, we're religious. Yes, we believe in God. So important. In this, I mean, to me, I've loved this. I love it because it is like, this is where we live. This is America. This is our culture. And it is so important that we see it and like, wow, this is right in front of us. I would submit to you in some ways, everywhere we go in the Bible, it's right at us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture. We come to this passage in Jeremiah, we say, well, what's the spiritual condition? What's the situation? What are the people like that he's going to talk to? What did God say to Jeremiah? Go up to the temple and preach the word. Why? Well, the word's not being preached. When you come to the temple, you hear the word. And let me just say this. Maybe if you're visiting or whether you're going to leave, so whatever, always find a place where the word's taught. And what I mean by that, they open the Bible, they point out a scripture, and they preach from the scripture. Not just, oh, here's a verse, let's just talk about how good everything is and how it did the best you can. And no, that's not preaching the word. We have to preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. That's the calling of anybody that's called to the ministry. Preach the word. Minister the word. Teach the word. Proclaim the word. Stand in the gate of the temple and proclaim there the word of God. And unfortunately, in our generation, it's just rare and rare. It's just sad. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. It's not unbelievable. It's very... Anyway, let's move on. So God's encouraging them not to listen to all this because they were superstitious. Don't listen to false teachers telling you you're okay when they weren't. But look in verses 5 through 7. Only a changed life will do. So verse 5 says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings... In other words, real repentance. The Bible says godly sorrow brings forth repentance. The Bible says there's a sorrow that the world gives that brings death. What is that sorrow? Well, I got caught in my sin. I feel bad about what I've done. God doesn't want you necessarily to feel bad about what you've done. He wants you to repent. Stop it. Change. That's the point I'm trying to make. Verse 5 again. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not, do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt. Now, what is he saying? Change lives. Here's the point. The Bible says in James, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Or another way to say that is Jesus changes lives. It's not just up here what you think, it's the way you act. When you're saved, when you're transformed, when you're born again, you're a different person. Not only do you believe differently, do you see differently, but you act differently. And God is saying that real repentance, real transformation is what I'm looking for. Not just you to say certain things and go certain places. I want to change life. Jesus changes people. Jesus changes the way you interact. That's what he's saying in verse 5. He says, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. In other words, you treat people the same. Not, well, he's my best friend. I'll give him the, you know, whatever it may be. If you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow. You're not oppressing people. You're not taking advantage of people. If you do not shed innocent blood in this place, innocent blood, I think about abortion, or walk after other gods to your hurt, the God of self. I want to do what I want to do. That's the God of self. It may not be an idol that you fall down in your house and worship. It's not be a stone or wood, but it's me. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I would submit to you that's rebellion against God. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's the king. He's in charge. What is salvation? And salvation is me in coming and saying, all right, you're in charge, not me. You're the Lord, not me. I'm going to hell if you don't save me. And I surrender. Paul the Apostle said, I'm a bond slave of Jesus. The Bible says, as we sang that song earlier, we've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. In other words, the new birth, conversion changes lives. God is saying through Jeremiah, it's not enough to come to the temple and offer your sacrifices. I want to see your lives changed. I want to see the way you relate to people changed. I want to see the way you treat people changed. I want to see the way that you're fair, that you're honest, that you're doing things because I'm telling you, you're guided by the Spirit. We have to reflect Christ. So that would become, I say before, look, you need to be the same here you are at home. There's nothing worse than coming and being, and oh yeah, I'm real spiritual, and I'm, you know, all, and then you're at the home, you're like the devil. Sometimes when we're home, we're more relaxed. Our husbands and wives know that. But we should be the same. Why? Because Jesus changed my life. And he didn't just change my relationship with him. He did that. When I was born again, he reconciled me to God. I was reconciled. Why? Because he forgave my sins. He removed my sins from me as far as the east is west. He cast them in the sea of his forgetfulness. And I'm a part of God. I'm a child of God. But being a child of God means that all my relationships with people are changed. And so all of a sudden now I know Jesus. And I've got to tell others about Christ. How can I can't help but speak the things I've seen and heard. He's my best friend. He's my God. He's my King. He told me this. And I've got to treat people the way I think Jesus would have me treat them. That's what God's saying here. Look at the way you're living. Look at the things you're doing. Look at how you're treating people. And God is saying real repentance changes lives. Real conversion transforms lives. Because you've heard the word, and the word's hard. The word sometimes confronts you, and you're going, oh, it doesn't feel good. I don't feel good at all. I feel miserable because I'm convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment. But I also know that not only does God convict me, he gives me grace. He'll come into me, and he'll give me the strength. And I think to myself, Lord, how can I live this way? How can I live a holy life? Well, the bottom line is you can't. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He comes and lives in us. He comes and lives through us. He comes and takes residence in my life. He is the Lord of my life. And God is saying through Jeremiah, repent. Look at your lives. What will you do in the end when everything falls apart? What will you do when the Babylonians come and they surround the city and the people are starving to death or they're killing and slaughtering? What are you going to do? How far is your religion going to get you? How far is your superstition going to get you? It's not going to get you nowhere. And God says later on, call upon your gods of stone. See if they can help you. God even said that in Jeremiah. He said, look, you take a tree, you cut it in half, you burn part of it in the fire, you take the other part of it, you carve out a little idol. And he says, the fact of the matter, it can't even stand up. You've got to nail it down on your cart because if you don't, it'll fall over. What kind of God is that? You got to put in a cart to carry around. It's God who carries us in the palm of his hand. And then God says, when the city falls, the Babylonians come, call on your gods. See if they'll help you. They can't help. In other words, Jesus makes a difference. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a national decline. We're in the middle of trouble ahead. Jesus makes a difference. He makes a difference. He's with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He guides us, he directs us, he provides for us, he gives us wisdom. He tells us what to do, he guides us by his Spirit. He loves us, he surrounds us. Wow, I mean, how can you beat that? You can't. So instead of trusting my own wisdom or my own ideas, I've got to trust in the Lord. And that's what he's saying through Jeremiah. He says again, if you do that, look in verse 7, the latter part of this, we'll close with this. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. What is he saying there? Only a changed life will do. You see, a changed life, because of the grace of God and the work of the Spirit in the life of a person, changes their destination. No longer am I headed to hell, I'm headed for heaven. And the Lord's saying that. The Lord is saying that. Look in verse 7 again. Once you do this, once you really repent, hear my word from Jeremiah, which you don't like. Did they repent? They didn't repent. Okay. Then I will call, but if you do repent, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. What is the land? The Bible says Abraham. Abraham was an individual who left, remember that, Ur of the Chaldees? The Bible says he sought for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is not our home. This is not our home. There's another place. And that place is in heaven with the Lord. And one day you're going to die and I'm going to die. One day, well, it's already happened, all these people, Jeremiah, they're all going to die. And then what? Isn't that what the Lord said in that fifth chapter? You're hearing the false prophets and the false priests, and you love it that way. And what are you going to do in the end? When it's all set, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do except face the wrath of God. And that, in effect, is what Jeremiah is saying to Jerusalem. He's telling the Jews, don't say the temple, Lord. Don't be superstitious. Don't think that you can, you know, life he's after. It's a transformed heart. It's an individual who's come to Christ and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm on the road to hell. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Deliver me. The Bible says God is near to those who are of a broken and contrite spirit. He will not despise that person. If we come surrendered, if we come broken, anybody in the days of Jeremiah that called out to the Lord, call upon me in the day of trouble, the Bible says, and I will listen to you and give you, you know, show you great mighty things. And so if they would just call upon the Lord. Just ask his help. Ask his forgiveness. Ask his mercy. Acknowledge your sin. But don't say, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just not going to do that. I don't need that. You see, the people had hard hearts. They just hardened their heart to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in a very tough spot. Jesus told us this. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's many ways to go to hell. There's only one way to get to heaven. And the only way for you or I to get to heaven is simply through the person of Jesus Christ. It's about your relationship with him. What is that relationship like in this passage? It's like it's hearing the word, hearing his word, submitting to him, asking forgiveness, and God transforming my life. In other words, conversion is a miracle. It's one of the greatest miracles ever. God takes sinners on the road to hell and changes them. You know, the amazing thing about that change is that God makes our hearts like him in some ways. All of a sudden, when we're saved, we have this love for the Lord. We have a love for God's people and a love for his word. It's like, wow. God tells us in Jeremiah 31:31, I'm going to take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You're not going to tell every man his neighbor saying, know the Lord. They'll all know me. Everyone that's in the new covenant will know me from the least to the greatest. And I'm going to write my word in their heart, in their hearts. I'm going to write my laws in their hearts. They're no longer external rules and regulations, but inside, in your heart, you know what God's saying. You know what God's heart is, what God's will is. That's what Jeremiah is saying to the people. He's confronting them. They don't want to hear this. The religious prophets, they're getting angry at him. They're saying, what is this? Oh, and they're saying, hold on, let me ask you a question. All these prophets up here, and then we got Jeremiah. You know, negative, negative, negative. We want to come to the temple and feel good. We want to come to the temple and hear positive words. And that's what happens. Or we want the priest. They're doing a pretty good job. I mean, it'd be perfect. And God's confronting them. Here's the point. Jeremiah's word was completely opposite and different than all these other people. Because Jeremiah's heart was completely opposite and different. Why God had touched it, changed it. God had given him his spirit. And Jeremiah was coming up by the Spirit of God, and he was confronting the people in their sin and preaching the word. And the word was hard. The word was repent and believe. Let God change your life. Here's the deal. You can't change your life on your own. You can't try hard enough. Please understand that. Flesh, simple flesh, simple trying cannot accomplish what needs to be accomplished. What needs to be accomplished? A transformed heart, a new birth, an individual who the Bible describes as a new creation. God demands a new creation. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. It is a miracle. This person that used to be this way, now that person is totally different. Why? Because they're trying hard? What does that look like? Trying to go to church more, trying to be about? No, nothing to do with it. It's not trying harder, it's surrendering and saying, I can't. It's surrendering. It's a surrender. I surrender to you, to a person. I give my life to Jesus. I ask him to forgive me. You know what he does? When you come humbly, repent of your sins, and put your faith and trust solely in him, he moves in and changes your life. The reason you're treating people the way you treat people, he would say in this passage, is because your heart's rotten. You got rotten hearts. Hearts that are sin. Hearts have been affected by sin, affected by the fall. What I'll do is I'll remove that heart of stone. I'll give you a brand new heart. Well, how do I do that? If you believe in me and trust in me completely, I will come in into you and sup with you and you and me. I will come in and transform you and change your life. It'll be a miracle, the biggest miracle. Better. Let me rephrase it like this. How much effort did God put forth to make the creation? It took him 6 days. How much effort did God put forth to change your life and my life and make us like him? I would submit to you the effort that he put forth to change me and to rescue me from hell and judgment was far greater than the effort that it took for him to create the creation. Far more. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he wants. It's almost like, God, why are you sending Jeremiah? Just wipe him out. Look at their hearts. These are stubborn, rebellious people. They're just thumbing their nose at you, continue to worship their false idol. You know, fry them, Lord. But God cares. God loves. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. God's merciful. There's a day of judgment coming. That's the point of Jeremiah. There's judgment. The Babylonians are already on their way. And there's going to come a time where you're going to sit there and say it's going to be too late. Later on this chapter 7, God tells Jeremiah, don't even pray for him. It's an amazing verse. We looked at that on Wednesday night. Here's my point, ultimately. Number one is, are you born again? I'm not asking you if you come to church, believe in God, or have a Bible and read it. I'm asking you, have you been transformed? Are you born again? As Paul would say in Galatians, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Or, as Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, unless a man's born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. And secondly, if you are saved, let me challenge you and encourage you. Take the word. God's given you the word. You know the author of eternal life. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He's provided everything that you need. Share the word. Preach the word. Tell people the word. My responsibility is to do what? To teach the word to you. I'm to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible says in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. My responsibility is to teach you the Bible. What does the Bible say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the word. Tell the word. Do you want to make people's lives change? Do you want to make a difference in people's lives? Preach the word. Teach the word. Minister the word. Carry the word everywhere you go. Somehow get verses and scripture verses and tell people your testimony. Let me tell you my story, how I got changed. And God will work. You have to trust the Lord. You know, I've seen in the last month and a half, 2 months, I'm seeing numerous, more and more people come to the Lord. It is so exciting to me. And I think it's because so many people are realizing this world is changing so rapidly. There's so much fear and anxiety in people's lives. And they realize, what have I got? I need a little pep talk? I don't need a pep talk. I need the God of the universe to come make his home and abode in my heart. And there's only one person that does it. His name is Jesus. There's no other foundation that any man lay except what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation that can't be moved. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we're saved. That name is the name of Jesus. And it's about that relationship with Christ, coming to Jesus, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I give my heart and life to you. That's why religion is not going to save you. Superstition is not going to save you. Coming to church is not going to save you. Believing in God won't save you. The devil believes in God. But I'm talking about surrendering your life to him. That's the kind of relationship God wants. That's what saves. Complete, utter abandonment into his hands. It's what God requires. That's what Jeremiah is demanding. That's what the Bible declares us. It's the same message. Isn't this passage relevant for today in this church? Isn't our responsibility to preach the word? Yes. Let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Have you been changed? If not, why not? Do you understand your need to repent and believe in the Lord? Do you know what that means? If you don't, ask God to help you. Say, Lord, pull me through. Show me. I can remember as an unbeliever saying, God, my problem is my heart. I can't change my heart. I told God that. My heart is rotten. I can't. What do you want me to do? The problem is me. And somehow I knew the only way I could be changed is if he changed me. He's got to change my heart because I can't change it. And my question was, how does God change the heart? By a person coming to him, abandoning himself in his hands and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in you. I trust in you. The Bible says, look unto the Lord, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. His name is Jesus. He loves you, cares about you. If you're not saved, why not? Why don't you come to the Lord? Why don't you believe on the Lord right now? Why don't you trust in him? Why don't you commit your life to him and say, okay, I hear it. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to turn from my sin, turn from my whatever may be superstition, and I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what I did when I got saved. That's how I said it. I didn't have anybody saying the sinner's prayer with me. I didn't know what sinner's prayer was. All I knew was I was lost and going to hell, and I needed Jesus to save me. And I told him, I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Whatever that means, I told him, I don't know what it means. I have no idea what I'm getting into. But I know I need you. And I'm giving my life to you, and I trust that when I give my life to you, you will guide me and tell me what that means. And I did when I was 19. Why don't you do that right now? Let's bow our heads. Lord, this morning as we close our study, we thank you for this seventh chapter, these seven verses. Speak to our hearts. As I've said the last couple weeks, the Bible says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I'm reminded of Jeremiah going up to the temple, and today they heard the Lord's voice speaking through Jeremiah, saying, repent, trust in the Lord. Do not rely upon these false prophets. Do not listen to false teachers. But listen to the word. Listen to the truth. And so I pray as we think about hearing the Holy Spirit calling us, realizing that, you know, I don't feel that good. I feel convicted. I feel like I need the Lord. I need to give my life to him completely. I pray for anybody in this place or listening online or that's going to hear this message next week or next month or next year. I pray for them. I'd pray that they would realize that we are justified by faith in Christ. The Bible says he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You require a diligent heart. The Bible says you will search for me and find me if you search for me with all of your heart. And I pray this morning for the whole person, the whole individual to cry out to you. It's not enough just to say words out of a mouth. It has to be the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I pray that the heart would be lifted up. That from the depths of the heart of anybody that's listening here, that they would cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I give myself to you. I surrender my life to you. I enter into that covenant relationship. I enter into that relationship whereby I give myself completely into your mighty hands. I trust that you will give me the power and the grace to follow you, that you'll give me the transformation, the transformed life, so that I can follow you, that I truly do turn from my sin. I can't enter the kingdom unless I turn from the world, myself. I got to repent, turn from, come out of Egypt, so I can enter into the promised land. You can't enter the promised land if you don't leave Egypt. And so I pray this morning that anybody that understands what I'm saying, and I trust the Holy Spirit to illuminate this, If an individual needs to leave, maybe it's a relationship or a situation or a lifestyle or just religion, just superstitious religion, repent of that. And they would come to the living God, the one who was manifested in Jesus, the person who came down from heaven, died on the cross for us, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And they would recognize that the blood of Jesus, only the blood of Jesus, will satisfy justice, will satisfy God the Father's holy justice for my sin. And that blood was shed. But I have to put my faith in Christ. It's not enough that it was shed. A person has to believe in Christ to be saved. And that belief is not just intellectual acknowledgement. It is a life surrender to Him. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's what the examples in the Bible model for us. That is certainly the life of Jeremiah, that he would do what he's doing in the midst of this kind of situation with this kind of pressure on him and this kind of hatred towards him. And all he was trying to do is get the people to turn so that God would not destroy them. That's all he was doing, obeying the Lord. In the same way, help us to be faithful to preach the word. Instant, in season, and out of season. Let this place, this pulpit, never be a place where the word is not preached. Because the only hope that we all have, anybody has, our country has, is the word of God. To hear the word of God, to let the Holy Spirit move through the word, convicting people, drawing them, saving them, transforming them. This is the truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You are the door. Jesus said, all that ever came before me are deceivers, liars. You are the true shepherd. And I pray that we would follow you and love you and give ourselves to you completely. So would you save right now? Would you move through this fellowship right now? Would you move through the airwaves and the internet and people that are live streaming this and touch their hearts? May they bow their heads and ask you to forgive them and commit their life in your mighty hands. Lord, help them. Help them. And we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. We'll recognize you are both the author and the finisher of our faith. We are saved by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. You choose to have mercy. You're not under any obligation to show mercy, but you chose to show mercy to me and to anyone who's born again. Thank you for doing that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.